May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our Father. Amen. When you look at the altar this morning in the front of the church, you notice some differences from the past Sunday. You'll see that everything is green. We are now entering the season called the time of the church. Or when I was a kid, we called it ordinary time. But there's nothing ordinary about this time. It is during this season of the church that we focus on growing together in Christ, in Christian life. The appointed scriptures for each Sunday allow us to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn just as the disciples did. As we meditate on the appointed readings for each week, we will hear parables, stories of great faith, of healing, acts of great power, and most of all, we will hear of God's great love for us and his people. During this season, this year, our gospel readings will be taken from Luke. Luke, as many of you may know, was a physician, and his writings were directed at both Jewish and Gentiles. Only Luke furnishes us with a complete genealogy of Jesus, and he reports more of the parables than any other gospels do. His writings are meant to show the Jewish people and the Gentiles and us that Jesus' deeds are proof that he is the fulfillment of the one prophesied in the Old Testament, who was to redeem Israel and proving beyond doubt that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, in order that all may believe Jesus' promise and have a new life in him. On hearing the gospel for today, you probably thought, what kind of gospel is this? This is a mess. We have a wild man, we have demons, pigs, angry town folk, and so forth. I'm sure that one of the first things that caught your attention was how Jesus spoke to the demons, allowed them to enter the herd of pigs, which immediately drowned themselves. Now, I have to admit, as one who spent many years working in the swine industry, my ears perked up when I read about the pigs. I thought, maybe you would like for me to hear me pontificate about swine. I could go on for hours talking about the history of swine, their many uses, the importance to the agricultural economy, and so on and so forth. But if I did that, I would fail in telling you the truth of the whole story. Because this story is really about this demonic-possessed man and you and me. Let us sit at Jesus' feet and hear what wisdom he is giving us in this story to live by in today's world. In the gospel we read, when Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. During the trip over to where they're going, a large storm had arose and the boat was sinking. This has happened to setting the stage here a little bit. And the disciples woke him up with just a word, Jesus calmed the storm, showing again that he is Lord over all things. We read about this man who was from a nearby city and was possessed by demons, many demons. This fellow was beyond control, a raging wild man who could not be contained by any means, not even chains. When this man sees Jesus step off the boat, the very first thing he does is to fall at his feet and declare Jesus to be the Son of God. He then begs him not to torment him, for Jesus had commanded the demons to come out. Now one would wonder just what this man had done to get him in such a fix. Was it drugs, booze, immorality, Ouija boards, idol worship? We are not told, but note that he begs not to be tormented, a sign that he recognizes his sin and that Jesus has the power to forgive or to condemn. Luke tells us that Jesus, who had commanded the demons to come out of the man, now has a discussion with the demons, asking their name. They say their name is Legion because they are many. These demons beg Jesus not to send them into the abyss, but to allow them to enter the nearby herd of pigs, and Jesus allows it. The herd of pigs then rushes headlong into the sea and drowns. Is it not interesting to note that the pigs, who were at that time considered unclean animals, were where the unclean demons wanted to go and enter to avoid the abyss? But when then the pigs ran into the sea or the abyss. So even though Jesus granted the demons their request, they still ended up in the abyss, as we have read in other scriptures, is where all evils and demons will end up for eternity. While all of this was going on, the herdsmen ran to tell the local inhabitants of this happening. Upon arriving on the scene and seeing the demonic man now cured and the herd of pigs destroyed, the people begged Jesus to leave their land, and he does. The demoniac, who is now fully healed and clothed, begs Jesus to let him follow him. But Jesus says no. Instead, Jesus told him, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." Now we are told that that man then went away and proclaimed not only in his home, but in the whole city what God had done for him. Look closely now at these occurrences. Did you notice that the demoniac first begged not to be tormented, and Jesus said yes? Did you notice that the demons begged to go into the pigs, and Jesus said yes? Did you notice that the local people begged Jesus to leave their land, and he said yes? Did you notice that the demon-possessed man, after being healed, begged to follow Jesus, and he said no? Now, there are several truths given to us in this story that apply directly to us today. The first thing is to note that Jesus answers those who call upon his name. Perhaps not always the way we wish to be answered, but he answers. And at his own good time. Note how at the first meeting, the demoniac begged not to be tormented. He knew that he was a sinner and it was in danger of being destroyed. But Jesus not only healed him, he forgave him as well. I would hope that this part of the story would bring to your mind the fact that you've been baptized. And when you repent from having any kind of demon, Jesus' forgiveness and healing is always there. Another point of real joy and peace is the fact that Jesus has demonstrated his great power over the demons. And though they begged not to be sent into the abyss, and Jesus said yes, by their own foolishness, they ended up in the abyss. You can see from the story that though we live in an evil world, that it's filled with demons of all type, we know that Jesus can, will, and has conquered them all. To me, the saddest part of this whole story is how the locals rejected Jesus and begged him to leave their land. Perhaps they did this out of fear after seeing the power Jesus possessed. Perhaps they thought, if Jesus can do that to demons and pigs, what will he do to us? Or perhaps they just had a hard heart and were not able to see that Jesus was much more than a good physician who was able to cure tough cases. I'm afraid I see much of the same attitude in many people today. People recognize that there is a God, but they have no place for them in their land or their heart. They are busy with other things, things that give them temporal pleasures, all the pleasures that this world can give, such as wealth, fame, and the other fleeting treasures of this life. The only no given to Jesus was to the healed demoniac when he begged to follow him. Now, what a downer. You have just met and been healed by the Son of God, but instead of letting you become one of his close disciples, he tells you just to go home and tell everybody what God has done for you. But this man does even more. He goes throughout the whole city proclaiming what God has done for him. How could there be any better evangelism message than telling about what God has done for you? Are we not baptized children of God? And so we are instructed to go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, as stated in Mark. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is what we should be doing every day and in every way and to everyone we meet. We should be telling all about how Jesus cast out demons in our lives by the means of baptism, by the sending of the Holy Spirit to keep us free from evil by his word, and by strengthening us through his body and blood. We should be telling everyone how he healed us in both body and spirit. We should be telling all how he comforted us in times of great pain and sorrow. We should be telling all that we meet what he has done here at Concordia Bourbon, how he's kept the church alive and faithful to his word. We should be telling all about his great promise that he has given us, peace beyond understanding, the promise of eternal life, and joy beyond our understanding in a new world to come. Everyone of us, from the youngest to the oldest, should be telling all we meet what God has done for you. Tell your story in the streets, in the stores, at your family gatherings, at your schools, at your work, everywhere, every place, and at all times. Tell them what God has done for you. Martin Luther, on his deathbed, made this statement: "We are all beggars. It is true. So then, let us beg those who we meet and tell them about what God has done for us. Beg them to come and hear his promise. Beg them to learn what he has accomplished, what he could accomplish for them, and what he did accomplish for them on the cross. I beg you to tell them that Jesus loves them. Finally, beg our great God that he would bless our efforts as we tell all we meet and know what great things God has done for us. And now, may the grace of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen."